Luke chapter 2, our Father's business, would emphasize the business of our Father, really, both physical, biological fathers, and our Heavenly Father. We want to make sure to emphasize that, and I hope that you will and take time this month to really in thinking about that as we go through and look through the scriptures of what it means. Our Father's business, Luke chapter 2, jump down to verse 41. I didn't tell you that, did I? Verse 41. As many of you know your Bible, you know Luke chapter 2 is a very, very important chapter. We primarily read a lot of it during Christmas season time, but I want to emphasize something here. Verse 41, it says, notice, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast. Okay. I didn't know I was going to be tripled up here. Okay. Now, I told one pastor friend yesterday, I told him about what we're doing, and he said, man, that's great, brother. He said, brother, I'm too ugly. I don't need triple of me up there. I said, okay, all right, thank you for enduring. Okay, where were we? Verse 42. And when he was 12 years old, he went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey and sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they sought him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. When they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Notice what he says. He said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? They understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Just emphasizing that this morning of being about my Father's business. I hope and pray that you are about your Father's business. His business is, and primarily we're going to see this, is world evangelization, is reaching the lost. That's what it's all about, isn't it? And I'm so thankful you're here today. I'm thankful for most of you in here that do work tirelessly at inviting people and tirelessly at trying to get people to know the Lord, bringing them to church or even sharing the gospel with them. Our Father's business. You and I must understand today that we must be about that. Now, just emphasizing this, there's about 56 sermons just in that portion of scripture right there, but we won't go there. He's a 12-year-old boy. Let me just say a little parenthetical statement. As most of the world movies and Hollywood portrays Jesus, that he all of a sudden realized he was the Messiah as he came up out of the water at his baptism. That's heretical teaching, okay? At 12 years old, he knew what was going on, right? We know that, okay? We don't have to debate over that. He was God, and he was manifested in the flesh. He was the God-man. And he says to his parents, who legitimately and righteously said, Son, we've sought thee. Where have you been? Now, Jesus was not being disobedient or deceitful in any kind of way. We know that he was without sin. He did this to emphasize the point, not only to the doctors, theologians, and others, but to his own parents. And he said, Mama, Daddy, remember, I must be about my Father's business. Remember, I'm not just a little boy. I'm not just your son. My friends, do those around us know our goals and our priorities for serving the Lord? Have you retired from serving the Lord? I sure hope you haven't. Have you stopped? Now's not the time, as I say it, to go ahead and coast on into heaven. No, no, no. Now's the time to go ahead and get busy for God in your days, whatever you have left. All of us have limited time. Let's go ahead and do it for the Lord. Now, thinking about this today, we see that Jesus Christ has emphasized for us as a church the goal of and the priority of reaching others and being busy for the Father's and according to the Father's will. What is his purpose? We know the last statements given to us, primarily the church, before Jesus ascended up on high was what? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then what? Teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's our commission. That's what he's told us to do. That's the business that we should be busy about. We business all day. We have all kinds of interactions with our families, with our finances, and with other things, but are we busy about the things of God? Let's go over to Luke 15, chapter 15, if you will, please. Luke 15, because I want you to see a great example given to us in the scripture of a relationship between a man or young man and his father in the great a parable given of what it is for us as children of God with our heavenly Father, Luke 15, verse 11. Most of you know this as the prodigal son story. You've read it, I'm sure, many times. If you haven't, I would encourage you to do so. Verse 11, he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, which was rightfully his. He divided them on his living, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country. There wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. No more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. My son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. They began to be merry. You know the story, I'm sure. Great picture for us of a young man who failed to be about the father's business. He got distracted. He got distracted with the things of the earth, the world, worldly pleasures. For me personally, worldly entertainment. Entertainment is the devil's way to get the Christian, the child of God, distracted from doing what God's called him to do. I don't know what entertainment is for you. I don't know what it is for me. I know that for sure. But you think about, he says, give me. Now, there's two primary demands from this young man. The first one is give me. It was rightfully his. We know that. It was his already. It was his inheritance. See, the problem was not with the request, as I've said before. The problem was with the timing. See, it wasn't time yet to give you the inheritance, son. Why? Because the father knew better. The father knew the son would go out and waste it on prostitutes and on drugs and alcohol and everything else like he did. He knew that. And do you know something? I'll be blunt with you this morning. God knows a little bit more than you do, all right? I have to be reminded of that. So, Lord, you know that, Lord, I need, and Lord, and Lord, you know I need this and help. No, you don't. And the biggest hiccup in your Christian life, listen to me here now. The biggest hiccup in your Christian life is not disobedience, per se. It's God's timing. You have a problem with God's timing. And you can look back in your life, and I look back on my life, and every time I got myself into a horrible situation, I screwed up, pardon my language, and got into a bad situation, it was because I didn't wait on God, right? I knew what he wanted me to do. He told me what to do, but I just didn't wait. I didn't trust God, did I? God's timing. And that phrase in the Bible, due time. In due time. What's that mean? God's timing. In due time, he sent forth what? A son born of a virgin. Where's the Messiah? They cried out for 430-something years. Where's the Messiah? In due time. Not time yet. People today cry out the same thing, don't they? Peter talks about that. They're going to say, well, you've said from the beginning that Jesus would return and he's not come back yet. You guys are a bunch of fruitcakes and nuts over there. Where's he at? Due time. God's timing. The problem that I have is the timing. And the son, he was not about the father's business. He was about his own business. And he got the bright idea one day that he would go ahead and take the inheritance that was his and use it. But he also makes a second demand later, and it's not give me, what is it? Make me. Make me is one of the hired servants. Make me. You know, he got him backwards. If we as Christians would figure that out, if I first ask Christ to make me a servant, then I can ask him to give me. But most Christians today don't understand. Most Christians today say what? Give me, Lord. Give me, Lord. And I deal with people constantly, all the time. Pastor Tim, why doesn't the Lord answer my prayers? Lord, why doesn't he give me what I want? I've been asking him and nothing's happening. Because it's all gimme, gimme, gimme. I'll take all you gimme. My name is Jimmy. I want it all. Gimme, 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 gimme. And it's never make me. It's never, Lord, use me and make me and help me. I want to be used of you. I want to serve how you want me or where you want me. Isn't that wonderful to think about? That Christ wants to use us. And I wish more people would understand that. Oh, how much of a better life you would have. Some of you have grown adult children that you see them and you plead and pray, oh God, if they would just find the will of God. Because you know the truth, as the Father did. He knew the truth. Here's something very fascinating to think about. The Father knew exactly what the Son was going to go do. And the Father, in his seasoned life, being an older man, knew exactly how a young man thinks. And the Father knew exactly what the Son was going to do and how he was going to waste it. And yet he was already prepared to welcome the Son back. Isn't that wonderful to think about? He wasn't bitter, angry. You spent my money on what? You wasted your inheritance? What I worked for? I built this business. I built this farm. You did nothing and you wasted my money? He didn't say that, did he? And do you know the Heavenly Father this very hour, this very minute knows what you're thinking, and he knows what you did last week, and he knows what you did last night? And yet he is still waiting with open arms. Praise the Lord for that. And he is still available, and he is still here, and he still wants to help you be successful in your Christian walk. Give me. Make me. Sad to say that it took me in my own life a time to go through that period of riotous living and wasting my life to finally come to the conclusion, oh Lord, make me. But from the very beginning. And Paul says it and emphasizes it to his churches. He says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, what? I live, basically, he says, to the obedience of the will of God, or for Christ. What's he saying? Make me first. The apostles came to Jesus one day around the table and they said, Lord, who's the greatest? And how can we be the greatest? And how can we be the most popular? And all these things. What's Jesus say? You want to be head? You become servant of all. You grab the bottom rung of the ladder. And he says, that's the one you follow. That's the person that'll make it to the top. It's the way of the world that says it the opposite you see here today. So be about my Father's business. We must see, number one, there is the will of God. The will of God. The will of God is available to everybody. We've gone through this before. I won't emphasize too much. But the will of God is available to all. The will of God, secondly, is not forced upon anybody or any human being. God, as I've said before, is a gentleman. He never twists anybody's arm to serve him. Never. All of us in here are living proof of that, right? If God wanted to, he would have taken us out years ago. I'm reading through the book of Jeremiah right now. And he says, Jeremiah says, God, judge or deal with me according to thy judgment and not according to thy wrath, or else I be consumed. God has judgments. God has rules and precepts. God has things in place, laws and commands that he, in his integrity and honesty, abides by. Or else in his wrath and anger, he would have consumed us long ago. Now think about that. Now we see the will of God. It's available to all of us. It's not forced on any of us. The young man comes to his father and he didn't force it. Now, son, you're a little bit on the ding-dong side and you don't know everything. I know you, son, and you don't know very much. And I know what you do with your money, and I know what you're going to do. He didn't say that. And I believe this personally, The best thing this father did was let him go. Here you go. The best thing the father did, although with a cringe and he bit his tongue. You ever get tired of biting your tongue, by the way? Not on accident, but on purpose, because you're around people that you go, Lord, help me. I get around certain people, my tongue gets so sore because I just bite it, you know. I'm not going to say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. Brother Tim, can I meet with you? Yes. And I always go, uh-huh, I know it's coming. And I go, uh-huh, Lord, give me wisdom, please. The best thing he did was let his son go. Here you go. Having already known what he's going to do. Why? He had confidence in his God. Today, do you have confidence in your God? That your God has your best interests in mind. That you can trust your God. I was driving just the other day. And I was driving down a certain road and I looked over and saw a certain building that brought back a memory. Do you ever have those? And it reminded me of somebody that I was with at the time. And the question was, Lord, why didn't I go down that path? Why did we go this path? Why am I where I am today? And I thought and I said, I don't know the answer to that, but I know this. I can trust a God who is a God of integrity and a God of love and a God that has my best interests in mind. Isn't that true? You don't understand everything that took place in your life. You don't understand. We got some dear, precious ladies in our church that lost their husband. And they went through a horrific time. Some of you grew up in a horrific home of abuse and other things. I don't understand all that. And I don't know how to answer that when people ask me those things. I really don't, except to point them to the Bible. But we can trust where you are today, praise the Lord for that, in a God and a Father of integrity, a Father that loves you, a Father that has your best interests in mind. So the will of God was presented. The will of God. Can I say, secondly, there's the way of God. There's the way of God. The way of God is something we must find and we must follow, we must do. Why? We want to be about my Father's business. You may have had an employer or somebody over you, an authority of some kind, manager, something. They did not give you clear instructions. You ever had someone like that? All of you are shaking your heads. Yes. Clear instructions. And then later, what do? They come back and say, they blame you. What'd you do this for? You allowed this. You messed everything up. And you go, you didn't tell me what to do. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to. My kids use that all the time. You didn't tell me. And I go, yeah. Oh, yeah, I didn't tell you. Okay, my bad. I'm sorry. I know that to be true. The way of God. His way, His policies, His procedures, His directives, His commands. You know, it'll be a good day in your life and in my life if I just submit to His will. I don't know why people fight against God so much. Well, I'm against God. I know why God does it this way. It doesn't matter. Just do what God's telling you to do. Just follow what God's telling you to follow. Just be obedient to Him. And we see the prophets repeatedly scream this out and plea with the people of Israel. Just do what God's commanded you to do. Just follow what God's given you to do. Just do it. And everything we see throughout Scripture, okay, I must move ahead. We see His way. His way is a righteous way. His way is not to torture you. His way is not to cause you problems. In fact, when we go our way, we find out right here what happens, don't we? We go our way, we find out what goes on. It may be a time of pleasure for a season. Moses is the great example of that. It says he refused to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, temporal, but rather to suffer affliction with God's people. Moses was happy leading those stinking sheep out in the middle of the desert. Okay, he had a good job, he had a pretty wife, he had a few kids, he was almost to retirement. And he was about to turn it over and just, I'm done with this. And there's the burning bush. You ever have those moments? You go, Lord, no, Lord. You want me to do what? You feel the Lord calling you to do something or leading you to. You want me to do what? You follow through. And he realized very early on that the way of the world is temporal. It's temporal. And pleading with you today and pleading with our young people to not offer or sacrifice your eternal things on the altar of the immediate. So many people do that, don't they? The immediate. I want it now. I want it now. It's my way. I want to do it now. And that's what it is. The way of God. Oh, the riches and the blessings that are part of the way of God. I think about John the Baptist. John the Baptist is an amazing character. If you ever studied his life before, amazing character. Do you realize he preached for about 6 months? Now that's a ministry right there. And then his head was taken off. And he was always in the shadow of his cousin, wasn't he? And it came to him and he had the opportunity. John, are you that Christ? Are you that Messiah that should come? And John didn't hesitate for a split second, did he? Nope. Well, who are you then? I'm the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. And he points over to Christ and he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. That's him. I'm not so much worthy to bow down in this dust and mud and unlatch his sandals. That's who he is. And John the Baptist realized very quickly who God was and who Christ was. Who Christ was. And the most famous quote that's given to us by John the Baptist before he's killed is what? He must increase, but I must decrease. He said, Lord, the prodigal, he flipped it. John the Baptist said, make me, and give me. Now, one time will you find John the Baptist requesting something? Never did. He could have, never did. Lord, if I'm going to serve you, I need to have a good pair of shoes. I need to have good clothing. I need to have a good house or at least some kind of transportation. Now, what's it say of John the Baptist? He lived in the wilderness. His clothing was what? He had a girdle, camel's skin, ate locusts, wild honey. That's who he was. A servant of God. A fellow servant. Will of God. Way of God. Think about, thirdly, let me say this, the Word of God. The Word of God. We're going to be about my Father's business. If we're going to emphasize and prioritize and keep at the forefront of our hearts and minds doing the Father's business of primarily witnessing and evangelizing and reaching others for Christ, we must follow the Word of God. You ever tried to do it on your own? Yes. It don't work. It's not going to work. We got pardon my language, but it just frustrated me. We got one of those cheap tables you have to put together yourself. You get those things? And we got the bright idea to get one of those. We got it home, and we opened the box, and on the front of the box it said, made in China. And I said, here we go. And I cut it open, the top, and I poured, you know, big box, and we tipped it over, and out came the shelving and the things and all these parts. And then comes a little pamphlet with the instructions, you know. And I don't know if you've seen the ones now, they got a little stick figure guy that shows you what to do. And they give you the tiniest little Allen wrench. You know what I'm talking about? And at the end, your fingers are like, huh? You know. And then I got smart and I put one of those things on the drill, but you know, it did it and you get it too tight and it breaks the cheap, whatever it is, plastic stuff. Okay, anyways, you see my bitterness. I'm sorry. And I got one of those stinging things, put it together, that instruction manual. And the first thing I say, and I have my wife next to me as the voice of reason, I don't need those. I mean, it's simple. It's not rocket science. Put the legs on. And sure enough, I got halfway through and forgot a few things. And she said, I told you. I said, oh, don't say anything. Don't say anything right now. And she's looking through the manual, you know. Right here. Until you skipped A-B-1-2. And that's what it is. I thought about that. The Word of God, ain't it? It's clear and concise for us. If you just follow the book. If you just follow the book. Seems easy. Sounds easy. The Word of God. If you follow the Father's Word. If you would have followed it, the prodigal son. If you would have followed it, Demas. Remember Demas? Paul says, everyone's still with me, brother. I'm about to go and be imprisoned, and you know what they're going to do to me. I have an execution date waiting for me. Everyone's still with me except Demas. Hath forsaken me, having what? Loved this present world. There's so many in Scripture we could talk about like that. Individuals that left. Judas Iscariot sat under the preaching, sat under the teaching of Jesus and still betrayed Christ. Oh, my friends, let me remind you, you're not going to reach everybody. You ever drive around this country, this world, our own city, and you went, how are we going to reach all these people? I mean, thousands of people. How are we going to do it? Well, you're not going to do it. God didn't ask you to do it all. He didn't ask you to reach everybody. That's why we collectively reach the world. He's asked you to reach your little circle of influence. He's asked you to reach the people you know, and you, the people, oh, and how bad and how poor of a job I often do at doing that. We follow the Word of God. It's clear. We have no excuses. Why? We have a written Word. The Word of God is revealed to us. The Word of God is given to us. And the Apostle Paul, as he writes to the church at Philippi, he gives them his great accolades and all of his accomplishments and all the degrees he has on his wall. And then he says what? They are all but dung when I compare it to Christ. When I compare it to what I have in Christ. What did he do? He realized that being about the Father's business was the most important thing. And we have a book that shows us what to do and following it. Can I encourage you to stay in the book? My friends, today we have something called the revealed Word of God. Have you ever stopped and thought about that the Almighty Creator God gave us this book? You're reading the very words of God Almighty? Have you read through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers lately? You're reading the very words of God Almighty, the Creator God. We have the revealed Word of God. That revealed Word, we believe in this church, is inspired. It's a God-breathed book. It's not written by just mere man. Man's ideologies, man's thoughts, man's feelings. If it was written by man, man would not include all of his sinful things. Paul would not have included all of his sinful habits. Peter would have not have written of his betrayal of Christ. No, it's not written by man. God used man as a pen to write the book, of course. It's inspired by God. And I pray and I hope that you understand and believe that yourself, that you're dealing with an inspired, supernatural book. We believe in the preservation of Scripture. We believe that the Bible's been preserved down through the ages to us today. Amen. Preserved. You can trust it. I don't trust that book. Heard a guy just recently. Do you believe the Bible? I don't trust that book. I don't trust that book. I said, have you ever read it? I tried, but nah. You ain't read this book. You're lying through your teeth. You ain't read this book. If you read this book, you don't get through the first book, Genesis, and you realize what's going on. It's a supernatural book. It's a book that'll change your life if you'll allow it to. It's preserved for us today. It is infallible. Thirdly, we believe and it's called the infallibility of Scripture. So often this book is attacked so many times, and I must continue here and conclude then. But this book is so attacked, isn't it? You can't open this book at your workplace. You can't open this book anywhere. People get upset. It has no mistakes. It has no errors in it. Why don't you quit trying to find errors in the Bible and just read it and believe it? Why don't you quit trying to find all the errors in the Scriptures and the contradictions from Genesis to Revelation and just start following the book? It's a better day for you, and you'll enjoy it. And I'm so tired of people attacking this book. Why? This book saved me. This book changed my life. You're going to attack this book. And we understand today, if you're going to be about your Father's business and quit fiddle-faddling with sin and quit messing around with ungodly things like you're doing and get right with God and get busy for God, preaching to myself here, and quit sitting around planting flowers in the garden. Praise God you do that. But are you busy about God's business? Are you focused on what God's called you to do? My friends, we don't have a lot of time left. We have very little time. Very little time. Very little time. And woe be to the Christian who stands before Christ having his hands empty. Empty. I thought, woulda, coulda, shoulda. And out of his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword, the Word of God. Tell me your problems, and I'll tell you what kind of Christian you are. Tell me your problems, and I'll tell you what kind of church you are. Well, we got these new people that stop right there. You got new people in the church? Yes. We got this person that you're talking to somebody about Christ? Yeah. I was debating the other day with the Word of God about you're sharing the Bible with somebody? Right? Tell me your problems. Tell me your ailments, your issues. I'll tell you what kind of Christian you are. I'll tell you what kind of pastor you are. And Jeremiah says, woe be to the pastors that feed their own selves, that feed themselves and not the flock. That feed themselves and not the flock. Too many today of that nature. Oh, we think about today, and I'll wrap it up. That we have a God that's given us a command and given us what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to follow it. Follow it. Well, I don't know what to do. We'll find out. The prodigal son could have said, Father, what do you want me to do? I've really got an urge to take the inheritance and go do some stuff, but what should I do? You know what the father would have said? Son, let me show you the way. Let me show you what to do. Let me tell you where to go. And our loving Father, if you'll spend time in this book, as He speaks to you and you speak in return in prayer and you have that sweet conversation with God and you have that sweet relationship with the Lord, oh, it's how precious it is. Above men, above any relationship on this earth, He'll tell you what to do. He'll tell you where to go. He'll tell you how to figure it out. Had a couple recently ask, how do we fix things? How do we fix it? Marriage is in a turmoil. Marriage is falling apart. What do we do? Have you been in the book? No. Have you been in prayer? No. Have you prayed about it? No. Oh, friends, it's not complicated. You get back to the book. And there comes a crisis point in every human being's life when they start, sit, stop, kneel, I don't know what they do, and stop and look out and think about, what does God want me to do? Is there a God? What does He want me to do? How does He want me to do it? All of those things. We come back to this. Are you in the will of God this morning? Are you following the way of God? And are you seeking in the Word of God? I must be about my Father's business. And as Jesus Christ hung there on the cross, His mother there at the foot of the cross, I'm sure statements like that came back to her mind. Came back. I must be about my Father's business. Does the Father's business always bring glory? Does it always bring a pat on the back and a thank you? No, very rarely. People often ask, well, how, no one ever encourages me. Why don't you encourage somebody? Nobody's friendly at that church. Did you try to be friendly? Or as often as I, Pastor, you didn't recognize me. You didn't say hi to me. I'm so sorry that I don't do that to all of you all the time. You think about that. Am I following what God's given me to do? Am I doing what He's asked me to do? Oh, friends, we've got so many priorities. Tomorrow morning, Monday morning, you've got 1,000 things you've got to do. You've got a list of things for your own business and other things for work-related things and the kids and you dear precious mothers and grandmothers. You got to get up early and make them food and prepare them and get them ready and send them out. Then you got to do your own job. And you dear fathers and grandfathers, you've got to do the same. Get up tirelessly working so you can provide and help. But are you prioritizing the things of God? Help me, Lord. Help me to do what You've called me to do. Okay, we're going to continue this next week and look at it. But I pray that You, this week, will take time. Lord, not give me, but make me. Make me. Make me what? I don't know. Just make me. And if you know, if you avail yourself to God, He'll start to begin to prepare you and make you. You'll be amazed at what God will do with you. One pastor said, you'll be amazed where faith will take you. Amazed. I'd rather sail out with the possibility of hitting a rock than sitting in dry dock and rotting away. I'd rather sail out. Maybe I'll hit a rock. Maybe something bad will happen. But at least I went out and by faith than sitting in dry dock, just rotting away, doing nothing for the Lord. Are you busy about your Father's business? There's about 5 people that you can think of off the top of your head right now that you say, you know, I should work at reaching them. I should work in some form or fashion at reaching them with the gospel or reaching them, inviting them to church, trying to help them. When we do, you'll stand before Christ and you will not show them your bank account. What will you do? You'll show them your people account, who you reached, what you did for Christ. Are you seeking Him? I know you are. Let us pray. Father, thank You for this morning and this time that we can study Your Word. Oh, so much to say here, Lord. And I don't have the time, it seems like, this morning. I don't often have that. I pray for Your help, Lord. And I thank You for these dear, precious people. They're so encouraging to me. And I thank You for them. And I praise You for what You've done already. Help us, God, as we go our separate ways today, to be about
our Father's business. What's number one on our business calendar schedule? Well, it's the Father's work. I want to be prioritizing that. I want to be in the will of God, follow the way of God, and be obedient to the Word. Help us to do that very thing. We love you, Lord, and thank you. Would you stand with me this morning, as we usually do, just have a few verses of invitation. And again, I would ask you very kindly if you would just take a few moments there, right in your chair, and seek the Lord and ask Him to help you to be about the Father's business. If you'd like to come forward, that's always open as well. You know the Lord is your Savior today. If you don't know that for sure, I'd love to take the Bible and show you how to be saved.